So. Now I'd like to invite Dan Evans to come up and tell us about his adventures of the last week and what that might mean for us going forward.
And no, I'm not going to talk about the snow in Denver. Several folks last week after service asked me about where I was going because I was offered up in prayer during our prayer time. And what I did is the first of this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was at a conference in Denver put on by the National Church, PCUSA, related to what they're calling Vital Congregations Initiative. It's an initiative that's tied into revitalization of the church and the congregation. It takes on a variety of forms and aspects to it. We spent the 2 days in some very prayerful and worshipful time that energized me and made me be glad to come back and share with you what's going on. It is an effort and an initiative that we can choose to participate in. And we have not yet decided whether we're going to do that or not. Sessions said, let's begin to get some information. And so they graciously allowed me to go to Denver and spend time learning more about it. I have put a bulletin, chart, a graph up on the bulletin board downstairs that you're free to look at to get a little bit more information. Also had an insert that was in the bulletin today that fills you in on some of the ideas and pieces of it that came around. Officially, the Vital Congregations Initiative is a 2-year covenant relationship between presbyteries and the PCUSA to prayerfully walk with pastors and existing congregations in intentional efforts of revitalization. It is not a quick fix. It is not a template that guarantees revitalization for every congregation. It is not a return to the glory days that we've seen in the past, nor is it a guidebook on calling a young pastor. It's not about numbers. It's not about our membership in terms of numbers. It is a turn away from what often we refer to as the three B's: buildings, budgets, and bodies. Three presbyteries across the country, San Jose in California, Trinity in South Carolina, and Newark in New Jersey, have been piloting this approach for the past couple of years, and their experience is guiding the initiative framework and how we move forward from here. A cornerstone of the effort is what they've come to identify as the 7 marks of a vital congregation. So to help us understand what it means to be a vital congregation and what will we be striving and working on, there are these 7 marks. On the bulletin board and the poster I put down there, you will see those 7 marks that are laid out. I won't go through them in all detail here, but they include things like discipleship, leader development within the church, caring relationships. These are 7 marks that they found from looking at our own history and at efforts by other denominations at revitalization, that these are the marks of what constitute a vital church, and that's what our effort is about. Again, we have not decided at LPC that we will be embarking on this, but the session will be looking at it over the next few months and trying to discern, is this right for us? Is it something we want to do? And it's a commitment, and there are currently 7 other congregations within our presbytery, the Olympia Presbytery, that have chosen to participate in or are looking very closely at it. A total of 14 presbyteries across the country have been selected to be involved in the first wave of this effort. Olympia Presbytery is one of those. I was joined in Denver by people from Westminster Church down in Chehalis, from Skyline Presbyterian up in Tacoma, the Mineral Church up in Mineral, the Packwood Church, and then I believe it's St. John's on the chapel on the ocean, which is Don Keller's church. Chapel by the sea?
Chapel by the sea.
Sea by the sea, okay. They were all participating in this conference. The first year, it's a two-year program. In the first year of the program, which would begin next January, so we're just kind of doing the preparation work now to discern and decide, is this something we want to do? The first year will seek to build relationships of faith through honest assessment, capture of unique stories, and discerning how the Spirit is calling us to action at LPC, at Lakewood Pres. It will be a year of frank truth-telling, a year of praise, prayer, worship, and study that will lead us to identifying our course for the second year. And then the second year is an incarnational year, where we put action behind the assessments that we come up with in the first year. And also, it's a year of relationship building from year one. Through prayer, community planning, and reflection, we would work to live into our dream for a revitalized church as we see God guiding us. One of the strong points that they emphasized throughout our work earlier this week was that it's contextual. What we do here at Lakewood Pres could be very different from what is done down at Westminster in Chehalis, or that is done at any of the other hundreds of churches across the Presbyterian churches across the country that participate. It is really geared to our situation, our members, and our view of the future and our sense of where God is leading us as a congregation. For both years, we'll have facilitators from the Olympia Presbytery. If we choose to participate, there are facilitators that are staff at the Olympia Presbytery and the National Office of Vital Congregations. And those facilitators will be available to work alongside us to help us with providing resources and collaboration, sharing experiences in other presbyteries and how the things are progressing. The first year, we will draw heavily on the concept of appreciative inquiry. If you don't know what that means, I didn't know what it meant either. But I'm sure that if we decide to go this route, we'll be involved in that some more. And there are probably some among us that do understand that. But it's an emphasis that is on our strengths. It's not on what our needs are. It's not on our deficits. Appreciative inquiry says we look at what are we good at? Where are we? What's beautiful in our world? And what do we want to strengthen? That effort will ask our congregants to examine issues like describe a time of high engagement and high impact here at Lakewood Pres. Or what do you most value? Or what are the core factors that give life and create energy for our congregation? Our question now is, and one that the session will be working with over the next few months, is do we want to commit to participating fully in the Vital Congregation Initiative, along with other churches in the Olympia Presbytery? Your church leaders, the session, are considering this question, and you'll be hearing more as we proceed. Your thoughts and contributions will be important to our discernment. I guess one of the questions that we will be facing is do we want to be a Tabitha in Lakewood? Do we want to be someone who, if we were to die, the community would rise up and say, that's not right, you need to come back? So, thank you. Yes. Yes, yes, you are. You are. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's love the tie into Tabitha. I don't know all else about the story, but I know that the Tabitha was seen as being profoundly valuable to her community, even to the point where the mourners were excited about showing Peter the garments that she had made for them, that she had empowered the lives of these widows who who were there to mourn at her dying. So, there's, it is about revitalizing and about, about revitalizing, but also about just finding those places where wherein lies our greatest vitality, and how do we be really faithful to what God wants us to do as we move into God's future. So appreciate Dan going. Appreciate what we're going to learn over the next year. Really, really appreciate if you all will speak to us about what you perceive to be the needs in the communities where you live and you serve, and to understand and help us understand how we as Lakewood Presbyterian Church can best meet the needs that you understand in the larger world. That, it can't be about what happens here. It has to be about what we do in our lives as we venture out beyond this place. So it's going to be an intriguing and challenging year. So I'm looking forward to that. So our second passage today is it's kind of the conclusion of Jesus' discussion of the fact that he is the good shepherd, and to begin before where we begin, but back in verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. For the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not know the sheep, and he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep, and he runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The good shepherd, I am the good shepherd. I will lay down my life for the sheep. It is mine to lay down, and it is mine to take up again." So Jesus had said that, and then there was this break. I don't know how long, but we know that as Jesus was speaking and likening himself to the good shepherd, which is certainly all the people in the community in first century Jerusalem, knew Psalm 23. And as Jesus was making that statement, he was claiming to be that person. And that made people rather anxious. And so at the time of the festival of dedication, it took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. And so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What the Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And so people bent down to pick up rocks to stone him to death, but don't exactly know what happened with all the intention of stoning, but apparently it didn't work out so well for those who wanted to do the stoning. But we're here on this day, on this Mother's Day, in our Sunday school class, we got to share some stories about our mothers, and it was kind of fun. It was some deep stories. It was kind of, I was a little surprised that this was not, and sometimes I insult Mother's Day because it feels like it's all about Hallmark wanting to sell more cards, and we'll have the special day, and the restaurants will make you a special deal to take Mom out for dinner and that kind of celebration. But so I was kind of expecting kind of a Hallmarkish kind of memories. But what was interesting, that everybody who shared in the stories around that table spoke about complexity. That being a parent is a hard job. You know, and we, gosh, you know, we do our very best, and you know, we put ourselves out there. We try to be the very best people we can, at least as much for our children as for anyone else, but in some ways more for our children than anyone else. And you know, we are creatures made out of clay, and we do our very best to be the best mom or dad or parent or pastor that we possibly can. And we get on the other side of what just happened, and we go, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. You know, I hope that my child survives my parenting. I pray that God in graciousness and mercy can kind of get beyond me and all of the limitations that are me, and yet you show up every day. I mean, I love the way parents show up for their children. You know, they show up in ways that are great and in moments of celebration, and they're right there in the hardest, the most difficult of times. The times when it feels like there's really no way forward and there's no way out. And it's kind of, we find Jesus in this passage being the good shepherd, that he is here for us. He is here to guide us and to lead us and to protect us. And he says very plainly as he lays out the story of the good shepherd, he says, I will lay down my life for the sheep because it is mine to lay down and it is mine to take up again. And I hear those words and they ring in my head and in my heart. I lay my life down and I take it up again. And I think of Jesus and the crucifixion. And I think of the church and the state, the Romans and the Jews and everybody who thought that they were in control, trying to silence this person who has a different way of understanding how people need to be treated in the world around us. And he knows that as he confronts those who are in power that they are going to do everything they can to silence him. And they do. And in this season of Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and that death could not contain the Lord of life. And we know that we are also in this tradition of Tabitha, who witnessed the power of God's love in the world in which we live, and we responded to the fact that the Spirit of God touched us in a way that it pulled us forward and invited us to be part of something larger than we are by ourselves. It invited us to become part of a community where we seek, perfectly and imperfectly, steady by jerks, to find our way into God's intention for us. And we sometimes, too often, I think, feel that we are about this process and that we are a small church. We're a church with a lot of people with gray hair. We're a church with not enough children. We're a church with the children being too loud. We're a church, and we can find all kinds of ways in which we're not exactly the ideal, perfect manifestation of God's presence on earth, and we feel as if we are weak. But Jesus says, you know, you cannot take them from me. I hold those entrusted to me by the Father. I hold them, I protect them, I love them, I lay down my life for them, and I will lay it down over and over and over again, and I will take it up. That there is a spirit in God's wilderness that goes where it chooses and enlivens as it will. And we are the inheritors of that Spirit, and we stand in profound strength. Not because we individually are spectacular, but because we together seek to be community. And we together seek to struggle and discern what God is asking us to do and to be in a world that is remarkably complicated. We become to one another mother and father and sister and brother. We become to one another teacher and student. And we make this journey with one another into lives that are profoundly complex, that oftentimes feel out of control. And we are held tightly. And Jesus is very clear that he will not let us go. My friends, we are on this day, on this Mother's Day. We are sheep of the Good Shepherd, protected by the love and the power of God, taking the joy and celebrations of our lives with our own parents who were wonderfully perfect and imperfect at the same time. We are products of our own environments, and as parents, we were wonderfully perfect and imperfect at the same time. And through it all, we have tried to find a way forward, and we have come back to a place where God speaks to us, and where God invites us to hold our lives tenderly and preciously and seriously, and where God invites us to step forward in God's power to be God's people who do God's work in the community. My friends, God does not have hands or feet or voices to address the world except as those hands and feet and voices belong to we, God's people, held proudly and protected mightily by Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for vital congregations and invitations to consider once again who we are and who we could be, to take a look at the world around us and ask not who it is that we need to be, but ask what the world around us needs us to be. How do we take the amazing resource of human beings gathered in this place and use our lives to make the world more perfect as you would hope, as you would dream? How do we use our minutes and our hours and our days and our years to be transformational? How do we celebrate the protection that we have in you to go boldly forward and make our most honest mistakes and make our most profound truths known to those who need to hear of your love for them? We pray, Lord, that you will give us wisdom and insight this day. In Jesus' name, amen.